Well, thank you for being here today, and we trust we can be a blessing to you. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. And no funny stories to tell today, and I'll be a little bit on the serious side. And of course, the Word of God is a serious matter. And I'd like for you to consider today, as you take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. Chapter 15 in the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to read a few verses. And while I do, I'm going to sit down here, so if I disappear from sight to some of you, I'm still up here and you'll be able to hear me. And in your Bibles, in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. And this deals with a prodigal son. And I'm not going to ask a stupid question and say, has there ever been a time that you were a prodigal, maybe to a small degree or a larger degree? It may have been in your own family for some reason. It may have been in the past history for some reason. It may have been a relationship you had with the Lord that turned pretty sour on your part, not on God's part. But I do want you to read with me from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15, starting in verse 20. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, starting in verse 20. And here we have these words, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I guess we sometimes don't think that fathers kiss their sons or their daughters, but I think it's a good practice to have. And my wife and I had the good pleasure of having three sons. And I don't very often go out to the grave where Rosemary was buried a couple of years ago out here in Prestonville Cemetery on 25 Mile Road. But I knew I was speaking today, and I did drive out there a few days ago this past week. And I walked over from the parking spot that I had. It's not a large cemetery. It's just an old country place. It's on 25 Mile Road. Oh, it's about halfway between Shaner and Jewel Road. And I slipped over from the car. I locked the car and I walked over to the grave site where Rosemary is, where her body is buried. She's not there. And I don't do this too often, but because I know that she isn't there. And I stood at the end of her grave marker, and right next to that is our son, where our son Bob, some of you knew Bob from years ago, and I stood there at the end, and I knew I was speaking today, and I just asked the Lord to give me the right words to say. And I don't know how many times over the years I felt so very close to my son Bob. He had some physical problems that were brought about by a terrible fall he took when he was just five or six or seven years of age. And Rosemary took care of him in so many ways. And I'm so grateful that I will see both of them someday on the other side. And I was thinking about this message of today, and I was thinking about the prodigal son. And I think about the times that I have said things to my son, for instance, Paul, as pastor of the church, and the responsibilities that goes with that, and he knows that. And I've said things to Jim because I feel very close to our son, Jim. He was the youngest of our three. He's across the hall now with the kids, and he and his wife are over there. And I think about these things, and I think about sometimes we get away from our parents. I hope if you have ever gotten away from your mother or your father that you will get things corrected and get it straight. And if it's your fault, do it. Get it straight. And I think it's so very important. And this is a story of a prodigal son. And this prodigal son in verse 15, and I'll read those words again. Let me read them, and I hope they can be a blessing to you. Chapter 15, verse 20. I think I said verse 15, but that's a mistake, a slip of the lip. But look at verse 20 in chapter 15. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. Verse 2, the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And you know, have you ever had the time, the occasion, when you had to get things corrected with your heavenly Father? See, there are many types of opportunities that we have as believers. There is a case here of this prodigal. And we notice something about him. The father comes, and notice in verse 20, if you will, these words. I want to read verse 20 again. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Notice, first of all, the prodigal was received, and at his homecoming, so to speak. And while he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. By the way, let me ask a question of you. How close are you to God? How close are you to his love? Do you need to make him realize that you're aware of it? And if there's ever a fault between the believer and the Lord, it's not the Lord's fault. Been down that pathway enough times to know that the fault, the plan, or the situation is usually my fault. His father had compassion on him, kind of like the Lord had compassion on us. He saw us when we were a great way off. And God the Father sent his son to make amends. And you and I can come to him even today if we're a long way off. His father had compassion on him. What's it mean to have compassion? Well, it means a time of loving, caring. I think of a few times over the years, I've said this many times to many people. People have asked me about situation concerning Rosemary, and I tell them this. Rosemary and I were very close. We were very close for a lot of years. When I came back from the Army, we got engaged. We didn't get engaged before I went in the Army, but that was a little bit of a mutual thing for both of us. It was a very serious time in our country's history. And the plain fact of the matter is, and I've said this a time or two to some people, I said we didn't get engaged because, well, the future was very unclear. When you're in the Army and you know that Korea is going on or something like Korea, and you know sooner or later you're going to be involved in being in the service, and I was. And it wasn't until I came home that Rosemary and I got engaged. And a few months later, we got married. And I'm sure there were some times over the years that in our life, things happened that kind of drove a little wedge before us. Nothing major. And I can say to you, and I look back on it, and I can say categorically, it was probably 99% my fault because of my stubbornness. And you know, there comes a time when you have to realize this. Now you say, well, why didn't you tell her then? I told her plenty of times over the years that it was my fault. And you know, we look at this, the father had compassion on the son here, and his father ran to meet him. Now his father didn't have to do that, but he ran to meet him. I think this is a very interesting story. His father came to him, just like his father sent his son to meet you, to die on a cross that you might be saved. I think about the Lord doing this, and there was a hearty welcome. His father had compassion on him, and then his father ran to meet him, and his father fell on his neck and embraced him. If you can see the picture here. And then his father kissed him. He hugged him. And I think a way, and you know, maybe when you were a child, you don't have to raise your hand here. Maybe when you were 13 or 14 years of age, you ran away from home. And maybe it wasn't for anything but a short period of time. In 1943, and you can do the arithmetic on this, I was 13 years old. And we were living in the inner city of Detroit, not far from the old ballpark, which was called in those days Tiger Stadium and Briggs Stadium. It's no longer there. But I remember I got angry at my mother, and I got an old wooden suitcase. I haven't any idea. It's the only thing we had in the house we could put something in. It was a wooden suitcase. It really wasn't worth having, and I threw a pair of socks in there. And I got mad at my mother, and I went out the door and slammed the door behind me. I lived on Poplar Street in Detroit. If you want to check it out, it's 2315 Poplar in Detroit, near 14th and Buchanan Street, to give you some idea. Just about a mile from Michigan Central Depot. That'll give you an idea just about where it was. And after I got my suitcase and got my pair of socks, and I went out the door and slammed it behind me. I walked around the block, and then I must have said something like this to myself. I probably said, "Stupid, what are you going to do now?" And I walked around the block a couple of times. I had to be back because I delivered papers at nighttime in those days. The Detroit Free Press was delivered at the night. And I knew I had to be back in time to go to my paper route, which was about 3 miles away, and I had to walk there because there were no such things as, you know, driving a car. Not at that age. We didn't have one anyway. And I look back at the time, and I think of the time when I came home from that very difficult situation. You know who met me at the door? My mother. My father had died several years before. But my mother met me at the door. And you know what she did? She hugged me. She kissed me. I probably blubbered something to her. I don't know what it was, something like, "Mom, I'm sorry." But the plain fact of the matter is, this young man had a hearty welcome. And he had a homecoming. You need a homecoming today with the Lord? Are you wandering around like that young 13-year-old punk I was telling you about a few moments ago? Are you wandering around away from God? You know, when you think about this, there was a hearty welcome. And then you notice something else. There's a robe that was placed around him in verse 22. Verse 22 are these words, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.'" The robe was placed on him. In the book of Isaiah, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, in Isaiah chapter 61 and Zechariah chapter 3, and both those chapters in the Old Testament tell about the Lord taking those who are returned to him, and "I will clothe you." And having read those scriptures, I wondered about the timing, and I want to be fair on the timing. I know our pastor is always very fair about the time here and dismissing the folks. And I know that you are thinking about things like that. And you're probably wondering, well, is this long-winded preacher this morning going to keep us to 1:30? No, maybe 2 o'clock, but not 1:30. Now, seriously, though, when we think about the wandering away from God, and this young fellow had the father come, and he put a robe on him, and he put shoes on his feet. Very important to have shoes. I think that's very important. You know, some of you walk around the house barefoot. I was talking to the other day. I was over at the home with, I have it here somewhere, and I was talking with Brother Ray Shepherd and George Farmer. Where are you, George? George sitting back here. George Farmer and Ray Shepherd and Bill Edwards were together, and both Brother Shepherd and Bill Edwards. We were all in the Army at the same time. We didn't know each other. We're in that same age range. And we all went overseas about the same time. And we were destined never to see each other there. And Brother Shepherd was in Korea about the same time that we were discussing, back in 1951 or so. And right after Thanksgiving, the 2nd Infantry Division that he was in, he was a squad sergeant, and he was captured. That's no fun being captured, is it, Brother Shepherd? And I asked him recently when we were talking, I said, what's the first thing that happened? And the North Koreans and the Chinese took his shoes. See, we're issued two sets of what they call combat boots. If you were in the Army, you know what I'm talking about. And we were issued two sets. One you wore, the other you kept in your backpack or your little cargo pack that you took everywhere you went. And the plain fact of the matter, they took his shoes. Now, this was right after Thanksgiving of 1950, that first year, incredibly cold time there in that part of the world. And they took his shoes. And it's pretty tough when you're talking weather of 15, 20 degrees below zero. Now, I doubt it was that cold insofar as this particular story is told. But the plain fact of the matter is, it's a difficult situation to be in. And I say this to you, the robe was placed around him and the shoes were given to him, put on his feet there in verse 22. And a ring was placed on his finger. Now, I wore a ring. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've had this off. The only time I've had this ring off my hand in the last 60 years, Rosemary and I were married in the 1952. You can do the arithmetic on that also. I was in the hospital a couple of times, but she gave that to me the day we were married. And on the inside of that ring, there's an inscription from Rosemary to Ted on that day of August of 1952. That ring's important to me. And I don't take it off at night. I don't take it off when I shower. I don't take it off if I'm raking the leaves or doing something outside or doing something work inside. That ring is given to me. And when I think about the ring, it showed a relationship that we had together. She was mine and I was hers. And I say that to you because it was important. And you notice here in the scriptures, the robe was placed around him and the ring was placed on his finger in verse 22. And it was a seal of love. And God loves you. God loves you. Now, you may not have a ring from God, but you have the gift of his son who died on the cross that you might be saved. And the plain fact of the matter is, it showed ownership. You say, well, you don't own your husband or your wife. In that sense, maybe not. But the plain fact of the matter is, it was a mark of high honor. And this ring was given to him. Genesis chapter 41 tells about that. About the matter of it being a source of honor. Well, what did the prodigal receive? The shoes for his tired feet. Notice again in verse 22, I want to impress this upon you. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The shoes for his feet, for his tired feet. It's hard walking without shoes if you happen to be in a difficult climate, such as I was referring to a little bit ago about Brother Ray. It's hard to get on under those kind of circumstances. Bring hither the fatted calf, we see in verse 23. The fatted calf was killed and placed before him. And there was a relationship that was binding together the father with the others. Let us eat. Let's take the calf. Now, I don't know exactly how they killed the calf. I don't know. I remember many of the time in our years of marriage, I would take Rosemary because she had very close family in Iowa. She grew up on a farm in Iowa. She spent a lot of time. As a matter of fact, when I went out to the cemetery the other day, I also pursued it a little bit further. I used to take her to a barn out here on 29 Mile Road where they have a horse farm because she liked horses. When she was a little girl, about 7 or 8, her grandfather gave her a horse. She called it Buster. As a matter of fact, her father told her, I think the first or second day she had the horse, he let her bring it up on the porch, and then he let her bring Buster in the house. Now, not everybody gets to take a horse into the house. And her grandmother didn't really like to have the horse in the house. And I would take Rosemary once in a while to this horse farm out on 29 Mile Road near Kuntzman Drive. And we would go out there and just sit on the road, look at the horses. And I might pop the horn a little bit, and the horses would look up, and then they would gradually saunter over by the fence. And I can't tell you everything about those things, but I do know that was a fun time to see the horses. And when we would go out there, I would always say something to Rosemary about how nice it must have been back on the farm in Iowa. 900 acres between Oskaloosa and Ottumwa, Iowa. 900 acres. They lost every bit of it. They lost the farmland, they lost the home, they lost the animals, because at a certain time there, back during the war era, they couldn't pay the taxes. And they lost everything. You know, and I think about the fun time that we had, and that in relationship to this and the horse. And I must say this, that looking back upon these things insofar as the scriptures are concerned, the fatted calf was killed and placed before him. Not a horse, but the fatted calf. And there was a relationship, a bond between them. How about between you and the Lord? What kind of a bond is there between you? And he loved you enough to send his son to die that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke, this burden, it's easy to bear. The Lord makes it possible for you to bear these things insofar as the things of life are concerned. God puts his arm around you. Now, you may not see him put his arm around you, but when he says, come unto me, he means come unto me. Have you done that? If you're a Christian, it's a wonderful thing. I'm grateful for that day and that time years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. I wasn't saved as a young child, as a boy. Matter of fact, I was 21 years old when I accepted the Lord, when I came to know Christ. And I look back at it, and I'm so thankful that the Lord had his hand on my life. I'm grateful for the years the Lord has given to me, the things that God has permitted me to do. The fact that God has permitted me to be involved with you folks here at Covenant Baptist Church for as old as the church is. I'm glad to have had a part in it. See, our relationship with God is forever. Let me tell you something interesting that happened many years ago, and with this I'll close out the message. I was in Seattle, Washington, a place called Fort Lewis, Washington. Most of you probably don't know about it. If you're in the service, you probably have heard of that. And I was sent from Alabama, where I had put in my basic training, and it was time now to go overseas. Well, I got to Fort Lewis, and Several days later, I knew I was leaving. We were going to board ship and head out through the Puget Sound up to the North Pacific and overseas. That's just the way it was. And I had a weekend pass. We weren't going to be leaving until Monday afternoon or Tuesday. And a preacher was in town that was just becoming popular. His name was Billy Graham. Now, frankly, I don't know that I'd ever heard of Billy Graham before that time. And Billy Graham was conducting a service in a small field of one of the universities in downtown Seattle. And I thought, well, I can go on Sunday. They're having Sunday afternoon meetings. I'd never been to hear a Billy Graham type of ministry, what have you. And when I got to the stadium in afternoon, I sat there listening, and Billy Graham and Cliff Barrow, who led the singing, George Beverly Shea, I think, was even his person who sang the solos at that time. I'm not sure of that. But after the service was over and I was walking toward the front of the stadium to leave, I heard somebody say, "Soldier!" And I looked around, and this man was standing up on the platform where the preacher had been preaching just a little while before. He said, "Come over here." Well, I looked around, and he was talking to me. And he introduced himself. He said, "My name is Cliff Barrow." He said, "I do the singing here." And he said, "I lead the congregation." He wanted to introduce me to Billy Graham, which was fine. You know, no big deal in being introduced to him. And so I shook hands with him, and I thanked him for it. He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm from Michigan." And he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, we're leaving ship, and our ship is going to Korea and Japan." He said, "Well, we'll be praying for you." He said, "Give me your name." So I told him, "My name is Ted Madonna. I'm from Michigan." And he asked me, one of the questions he asked me, he said, "Are you married?" I said, "No." I said, "My mother back home." And he handed me a book. He handed me a song book. And he said, "I want you to have this. And every time you want, think of us, and maybe you can pray for us wherever you are." And he said, "I'll be praying for you." And this was kind of strange to me. I still have the book. As a matter of fact, after I came home sometime later, I took it out of my cargo pack, which I put it in. I kept it there. I lost the backpack, but the cargo pack I still have today. I have it hanging in the garage at the house. No, the book's not in it. But I gave the book to Rosemary when I came home. And she used to sing out of it. We'd talk about it, and I'd tell her how the incident came about, how Cliff Barrow had given it to me. The book is still in operation. I'll look at it every now and again, get a little bit sentimental. Maybe you're not that way. I happen to be one of those kind of people that is. And after over 60 years, still have it. I don't know how long it'll last. Maybe it will last the rest of my life. But if it doesn't, it doesn't make any difference. My salvation's going to last the rest of my life. I have salvation that I got from Christ. He gave it to me. He'll give it to you. Are you wayward today? Why don't you think about that and consider what the Lord would have you to do about it? You know, I look back over the years, and I'm grateful for what the Lord has permitted me to do with you folks here. I'm thankful. I'm thankful above everything of what the Lord has been able to do. I want us to stand together. I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor. And I'm going to go and get out of the way. But if the Lord is dealing with you about your life, about what you should do with your life, about your love, if you love the Lord, And consider today the reality of God's great grace. See, the father ran to the wayward. He loved him. He loved him. God loves you. Heavenly Father, take control of the service. Bless it to your honor and your glory. Thank you, Father, as we continue in the invitation for Jesus' sake. Amen.